Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to today's AMAX Technical Advisory Committee meeting. Today is Thursday, May 12th, 2022, and it is 1:30 p.m. Item one on our agenda is determination of a quorum.
We do have a quorum.
Excellent. Moving on to item 2A, March 17th, 2022 meeting minutes. Mr. Chairman. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's you.
I know. I'm sorry. I skipped right over that.
Move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Thank you. All right.
We'll help you.
Sir.
Yeah. Excellent. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Same sign. Hearing none, motion passes. Item 3A, staff reports, financial progress report. Reference attachment 3A. Mr. Baker.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So as you can see on the attachment, we've spent about 67% of our funds. We still have 2 months to go. So we are sitting in a good spot for the rest of the year, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Seeing none, I will entertain a motion.
Balling, move to approve.
Paradise, second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Moving on to item 3B, technical progress report. Mr. Baker.
All right, thank you again, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple things I wanted to update you on. First of all, at the policy committee meeting in March, we had discussed that some governors and some in the federal government were discussing the idea of a federal gas tax holiday, as well as we've seen some states already enact a federal state gas tax holiday. Our members requested to our policy board that the staff direct letters to our congressional representation and our state house to let them know that we were opposed to any all ideas of gas tax holidays, as it's critical means for us to fund infrastructure projects. Those letters were sent out. I think, you know, probably a lot of you saw them as we shared drafts and finalized and were sent out a few weeks ago. We have not heard any response, but also there seems to have quieted down on that front a little bit in terms of the discussion that I'm seeing at the federal level, but it remains to be, I think, something that concerns us, and we want to ensure that our highway trust fund specifically and our state coffers for transportation continue to remain funded. Also, there has been some additional notices of NOFAs. They continue to come out from the federal government on transportation grants. I believe we had sent out a link earlier that gave a list of all those to be expected. The newest one coming out our way is going to be the Reconnecting Communities NOFA. There is going to be webinars on that in the next week or so. Just wanted to make you aware, if you think those grants apply to you, AMATS will do everything and anything we can to help promote your applications, including letters of support, meetings, etc. And finally, at 2:30 today, there is an ITS follow-up meeting from our one that we had in December. We will have our consultants that help put together our ITS plan make final recommendations. We would appreciate it if those of you that can are willing to stay and listen to that presentation. If not, we wholeheartedly understand. I know ITS isn't always the most exciting topic in the world, but that is after directly at 2:30 after this technical advisory committee meeting. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
All right. No questions. We'll move on to item 3C, AMATS Federal Funds Report. Mr. Follett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of things I'd like to touch on. First of all, we're in the final stretch of fiscal year 22, and we still have quite a few projects that need to sell yet. Now, I do know that a lot of times these things are a little bit ahead of the curve as far as actual compared to, you know, what we see when we get our ODOT report, so hopefully it's not quite as bad as we think, but time is running out. Just a reminder that ODOT more or less kind of closes their books at the end of May. Like, not too much happens in June because that's their year-end. That's when they do their year-end balances and such. So if there's anything we can do, you know, to help you, just, you know, please let us know. And the other thing I want to touch on is AMATS is aware of the rising costs, the costs of these projects, labor shortages and rising material costs and plenty of work for the contractors is really driving up prices. So I did want to remind you that AMATS does have a policy where we will increase the AMATS portion of your funding by 15% if you need it. Hopefully that will, make the difference between some of these projects, living or dying. But if you need more, even more is possible, but we have to get some special permissions to actually increase your funding by more than 15%. So we are aware of the project situation, and if there's anything we can do to help, just give us a call, and we'll try to, get these projects to fly for you. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer.
All right, no questions. Thank you, Mr. Pillay. Moving on to item 4, old business. Have any old business?
We do now.
Excellent. Moving on to item 5A, draft resiliency report, discussion item only. Mr. Swirsky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm presenting attachment 5A, the AMATS climate resiliency report, and this is just a draft version to take some feedback, and we're going to come back in August with a more thorough version. So I'm just going to summarize it, and then we can answer any questions. So the purpose of this report was to assess the vulnerability of our area's transportation infrastructure to extreme weather and climate impacts. And when we started this, we looked at a couple different outlines. The federal level agencies have a few different sort of frameworks that they use, and we wound up following the direction of Federal Highways Vulnerability Assessment Adaptation Framework, third edition. We looked at some climate data sets to assess what kind of threats we really have in our region. We're not on the coast or anything, so we don't have serious sea rising levels, thankfully. So we looked at weather, some daily temperature, and also rainfall in the report. And we concluded that the region can possibly see more frequent precipitation and potential flooding. And so we looked at, where areas, what transportation infrastructure are vulnerable. We looked at the floodplains. We mapped FEMA floodplains over top our highways, roads, bicycle networks too, as well, any trails. And we looked at the condition of those infrastructures as well. So we looked at the National Bridge Inventory and our own pavement condition index. And so we kind of took like a matrix and found the most vulnerable that are in the poorest condition, as well as ones that would be in the floodplains, and they comprise sort of a master list of most vulnerable assets in the area. And so that was, you can see that in the report as well. And we kind of then moved on to some local examples. I contacted both the Orange County and Summit County engineers, and they gave us some examples of things that they deal with, and we added that in for some local context. And we're always looking for more, so that would be even good feedback too if there's areas that we're not seeing on there that you guys see in your communities that are vulnerable areas for flooding. And finally, we looked at some potential solutions, including all kinds of green infrastructure. Just as examples, we're not prescribing things, but we are suggesting them. So we looked at some recommendations. Three major ones were, you know, providing a goal statement in the next long-range plan as part of our long-range transportation plan, incorporating planning into any kind of funding policy guidelines, so looking at project selection and any weighted points for vulnerable areas, and promoting new road and transit design approaches. And again, this is also taking feedback from the communities to see what kind of things do we need to do. And I already actually received some from Michelle GPR that was really thoughtful and looking at how do we align our policies with those of the state and anything that you guys need in the community. So with that, again, this is just, you know, for draft discussion only. I'll take any questions or feedback or comments.
So the only thing I would add that is that this is something that I don't want to say that Federal Highway is forcing us to do, but this is something that I think, you know, we're seeing a push on this from the federal level to sort of take into account how those elements of climate change may impact our community. And I think, as you know, a lot of us know, other than the rain event element of things, you know, typically even with temperature, we haven't started to see too many impacts. And so this is sort of our first cut at this, which is why, you know, we wanted to bring it to you in a draft form, because it obviously is something that we think we can build upon in the future. But it does make it kind of important for, I think, as we look at those types of issues and potentially for federal grants as well.
No questions? All right, thank you, Mr. Sworsky. Moving on to item 5B, 2021 Annual Report on Roadway Traffic Congestion, reference attachment 5B. Mr. Amadzai.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon and greetings to all. Today I'm going to present Attachment 5B 2021 Annual Report on Roadway Traffic Congestion. So, as the name implies, it is a congestion study specific to roadways. So, I'm going to explain what is the report all about, why we do it, how we do it, and what we get from it. So we are all aware of congestion management process. It's a federal requirement, and most of the NPOs and transportation management areas do that. This report is very much similar to congestion management process, since I mentioned earlier that it's very specific to roadways. So, but the congestion management process that we complete every 4 years is a multimodal approach. But this report is very specific to roadways. So this report encompasses 7,100 segments in Summit County, Portage County, Chippewa, and Milton Township of areas of Wayne County. So the road network, defined road network. The defined road network includes interstates, coded 7 in federal classifications, and freeways and other expressways. Sorry for this one. Technology error. So, coded 6 in federal classification, arterials, both principal and minor arterials, and as well as we included interchanges on the interstates and expressways and ramps and intersections on arterials. So we excluded collectors due to the level of importance. So we started from these 3 to 4 major road segments. So we excluded collectors and local streets. So this is how our defined road network for this animal congestion study looked like. So why we do it? So the main goal is we just want to maintain the existing level of service of our road network. And the second goal for this study is to as demand management and leverage supply. So to control the demand and leverage the existing road network. Last but not the least, we just want to keep an eye on our road network to monitor and track our road network, how it functions in terms of congestion. So how we do it? So this report was done using StreetLight data platform. I'm not sure that how many of you have heard about this platform before, but this is a virtual way of collecting data. We haven't installed any sensors, we didn't use any equipment, but StreetLight data uses their own reading algorithms to collect the data. So they use 2 types of big location data sources. They call it navigation GPS data that we use for navigation from one place to other place. Personal vehicle use that, and commercial vehicles, they all have already installed that GPS navigators. It provides a small size of data. The second type of data that they use for this type of analysis, it's not like we use this StreetLight data platform for congestion, but they provide origin destination metrics, they provide turning moments, activity analysis, every daily traffic. So I'm not going to go into the details of this data collection, but I just want to let you know that location-based services are the data. They collect the data from cellular towers, from all the location-based apps. So they track every single moment people make while traveling from one location to another location. So we conducted a couple of studies for the purpose of validation and reliability of the data. So the data, as far as planning process is concerned, the data has more than 90% accuracy so far that our research studies have revealed that. So for the congestion, we use the free flow factor. It's just like the ratio of the average speed to free flow speed. So free flow speed, the StreetLight grading algorithm, they pick the really realistic free flow speed, not like posted speed, not like what we call like as a level of service, something that we have done before. They pick the realistic speed in a specific period of time. For this study, we use like 5 months of period of time. So they pick the maximum of average speed as a free flow speed for every hour. Suppose that we have from 9 to 10, we have speeds for different vehicles from 10 to 11. So they pick the maximum operating average speed as a free flow speed. So suppose if we have 70% of free flow speed on the road, so we call it that we have 30% of congestion experienced by that road at that specific time. So that's how they calculate the congestion technically. And they calculate it from the metrics that they got from their reading algorithms, from their location-based data and GPS data. So MS divided the congestion into 3 categories. So federal has their own threshold, but we divided congestion because we have a StreetLight metrics into 3 categories. Low, from 25 to 35% congestion, moderate from 35 to 45, and severe from above 45. So anything lower than 25 is considered as no significant congestion. So what we have got so far from 7,000 100 segments that, which is equivalent to 1,010 centiline miles. So when I say 7,100 segments, it means that we, these segments include interstates, arterials, and freeways and other expressways. So interstates and freeways are very, they have similarities, but among these 7,100 segments, which is equivalent to 1,010 miles, we, the results reveal that fortunately 938 miles have no significant congestion. 93% of the roads within the MS region, the defined road network, do not have a significant congestion. 58 miles have low congestion, 12 miles have moderate congestion, and we have only 2 miles that have severe congestion. So when I say low, moderate, and severe, so it refers to the congestion percentage that we have discussed earlier. So to go more into the details, the number of segments is that we have there from 7,100 segments, we have 6,377 segments that has no significant congestion. 577 segments have no congestion. We can see to the equivalent miles of those segments, and there are 129 segments. So how we identify segments? It's just a portion of road between two intersections regardless to the functional classification of roadways. We call it like segment. It's just a portion of road. That's how StreetLight collects the data. And that's how we usually collect the data too when we talk about a segment of a road. So comparison by the intensity, we can see that low, moderate, and severe. Comparison by functional classification, so we have around 11 miles arterials moderately congested, and we have 1.98 miles severe congested. We don't have, fortunately, we don't have any interstate freeways that have severe congestion, and there is just 0.36 miles of ramps that has a severe congestion. So far our network functions really well, satisfactorily well. So comparison by political unit. So we have Akron, 7.2, Cuyahoga Falls, Hudson, so when we talk about congested miles, so it's just the congested network. Anything about 25% is called congested miles. So congested miles by county, we have Summit County, we have Portage County, and we have Chippewa and Milton Township areas of Wayne County. So this is how the congested network look like. We just included the moderate and severe congestion because severe congestion is about 45% and moderate congestion is about 35%. The threshold for congestion according to federal codes of regulation is 30%, like 60% of posted speed limit. So our posted speed limit is different because we use free flow speed. We don't use, so there are a little bit differences, but at the end of the day, they pretty match up, line up with each other. So another important performance measure that we considered for this study is vehicle hours of delay, which is very kind of linked with congestion. So the vehicle hours of delay represents additional travel time, vehicle spin by traveling other than free flow speed. Suppose we have 10 hours of travel time at average traveling by average speed, and we have 8 hours of travel time by traveling by free flow speed. So we call that two additional travel time as vehicle hours of delay. Federal code of federal regulation, they use excessive delays. They use excessive delays. So they call it, the threshold for that is like anything lower than 60% of posted speed limit would be considered as an excessive delay. So with that in mind, we also tried to look at into the metrics how our network functions in terms of wake-up hours of delay, so that we understand how. So looking at this table, we have congested road network. So a congested road network, we have 721 segments that we saw the previous slide. When we talk about the congested road network, it's all the road segments that have more than 25% congestion. When we talk about defined road network, it's just the 7,100 segments. So in terms of vehicle hours of delay, our congestion, congested road network, the average vehicle's hour of delay, daily delay for each mile is 19.76 hours. This is the daily mileage for each mile for the congestion. For the defined network, it's just only 8.51 miles. So we want to keep an eye on these metrics in the future. We call it performance measures, how our congestion network functions, and how our overall defined network functions. So we just want to keep an eye on it in the future. And as we mentioned before, the goal is to maintain and suggest to the stakeholders strategies, demand control management, travel demand management strategies to keep the existing level of road network up to the mark. So in conclusion, what we have got from this report, from this study, this is a virtual way of collecting data. It is a very comprehensive approach. As I mentioned, that it's very similar to congestion management process. It will help in developing congestion management process report that we complete, MATS completes every 4 years. And the report will be updated annually. And the MS will incorporate the results of this report into long-range transportation plan document and transportation outlook 2050. So it's just first of its kind. That's all from me. I would be happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Farhad, could you just tell everybody what the data period was that you grabbed the data from?
Yes, we talked about it and we had a couple of meetings on that. So we collected data from March to August. In 2021, we collected data for 5 months from March to August. So we thought those are the most appropriate months for collecting normal traffic flow in 2021. So we will keep an eye in 2022 as well and see how the network functions in terms of congestion.
So I think it'll be a nice kind of benchmark the pandemic, you know, and how that affected travel, thinking about it last year to this year, what differences there are. It'll give us a nice thing to see on an annual basis of how things are changing.
All right, any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Amadzai.
So if there are no questions, the staff requests motion for approval.
There you have it. We have a request for motion for approval.
Bowling, move to approve.
Kovacic, second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Moving on to item 6, resolutions. Our first resolution is item 2022-07, reaffirming the approval of the Regional Transportation Plan and the Transportation Improvement Program, and affirming the consistency between the Regional Transportation Plan, the Transportation Improvement Program, and the State Implementation Plan. Reference item 6A. Mr. Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. These are two routine resolutions that AMATS
must pass each year in order to remain certified as a metropolitan planning organization. Resolution 2022-07 affirms AMAT's annual approval of the plan, the TIP, and also reaffirms the existing TIP with the state implementation plan for air quality conformity. The TIP and the 2045 plan have both been analyzed for air quality conformity in coordination with ODOT and found to be in accord with federal regulations. The staff is recommending approval of Resolution 2022-07. Are there any questions?
You want to do a motion now?
We can do them together separately, or do you want to
do them? Let's vote now.
Yeah, do one motion in the
okay. Air. So we'll do a motion on item 6A, Resolution 2022-07. Do I have a motion?
Paradise, move to approve.
Second?
Four, second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All those approving signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Hearing none, motion passes. All right, Mr. Gardner, you're up for Resolution 20-2208.
Thank you. Every 4 years, the USDOT certifies that AMS is operating the planning process according to federal guidelines. Last year, AMS underwent its federal certification review, and the USDOT did certify that AMS may continue to conduct the planning process for another 4 years, at which point the USDOT will return for another certification review. Annually, the AMS Policy Committee is required to self-certify that it is conducting the planning process according to federal regulations. With Resolution 2022-08, the Policy Committee certifies that the AMAT's transportation planning process is being implemented in compliance with all applicable federal requirements. AMAT's activities are carried out under the continuing supervision of ODOT, and the staff is recommending approval of this resolution. Are there any questions?
Seeing no question, I'll ask for a motion.
Paradise, move to approve.
Second?
Bowling, second.
We have a motion and a second. All those signify in approval, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Hearing none, motion passes. Moving on to item 6B, Resolution 2022-09. Attachment 6B, Mrs. Ryder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, everyone. Attachment 6B, Resolution 2022-09, is the final transportation planning work program and budget for AMAC fiscal year 2023, which begins, as you know, this July 1st. A draft of the work program was approved in January by the Policy Committee, which was then submitted to ODOT for review. After receiving comments from both ODOT and FHWA, the major elements of the plan remain the same. Therefore, AMAT staff is requesting approval of the fiscal year 2023 Transportation Planning Work Program and Budget. And if you have any questions, I can answer them.
All right, no questions. I will request a motion to approve.
Or move to approve.
Bowling, second.
A motion or second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Same sign. All right, motion passes. Item 6C, Resolution 2022-10, reference attachment 6C, Mr. Pillay.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. AMATS has funded three sidewalk projects in the Montrose area. And all three projects are on the north side of 18 State Route 18 in Bath Township. The first phase of sidewalks was from Springside eastward to Cleveland-Maslin. The second one is goes up Cleveland-Maslin from 18 to Springside, and the third one is connects the loop and goes from Cleveland-Maslin back down to State Route 18. The first phase is done, the first project's done. The second project along Cleveland-Maslin is in the TIP, and the third project, the one along Springside Drive, is scheduled in 2026. And it's not in the current TIP. So the purpose of this amendment is to pull that project into the current TIP so that the second project and the third project can be designed, just designed at the same time. So we're adding a new sidewalk project, Springside Drive sidewalk, to the TIP so that the design can be done along with the other one that is along Cleveland-Massillon Road. This is expected to cost around $100,000, and the funding and everything's in place. We just have to pull it into this TIP. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
All right, no questions for Mr. Flood. A motion is required. Question?
Olling move to approve.
Kovacic second.
Thank you. There is a motion to approve resolution 2022-10. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Mr. Baker, any other business?
Just a reminder, the ITS meeting at 2:30.
2:30 meeting, everybody should stay. With that, we can adjourn.
We've already locked the doors.
Thank you all. We're done here.